that good song this morning. We're in the third chapter of Genesis, so right near the very beginning of your Bible this morning, third chapter of Genesis. We're going to read two verses together for our text to jump right into the message after we hear a good special, Genesis chapter 3. And our text is going to be verses 20 and 21, and actually preaching from verse number 21 this morning, right at the very beginning of our Bible. So find that if you're getting familiar with your Bible right at the start there, Genesis 3. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. And if you'd please join me on verse 21, I'll read verse 20 for us. Here's what the word of God says in verse 3 of verse 20 of Genesis 3. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Heavenly Father, would you please bless our time in your word this morning? I pray the Holy Spirit would have complete control in these hours, these minutes, dear Lord. Please, may he be with us in a powerful way. Arrest our attention. Help us to absorb the truth. Guide us into it, dear Spirit. We'll thank you for it. Where there is liberty in a service, it's because you're there. And so we pray for that this morning. Bless the song, the singer, and the message to follow. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you, BC.
Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Always only for my King.
Good prayer to pray every morning. Amen. And a good song for us today. Now you see in verse number 21, the Bible says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. So I want to speak today on the subject of God's garments. God's garments. And let's pray and ask Him to be with us in a special way during the preaching of His Word. And Father, we thank You for the good song now. That's a good thing for us to pray at the beginning of every day and throughout the day. Take my will and be glorified in my will. Be glorified in our song, our speech. I pray that You'll be glorified in the next few minutes as we have this message today. I pray that You'll help me to be the preacher that will glorify You, and I pray that You'll help the listener to be the listener that will glorify You. May Your will be done in our midst, please. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Down through the years, men have used work, thought, and creativity to make things that have bettered our standard of living. I think about Thomas Edison and the invention of the light bulb and how much better our lives are because of the light bulb. I think of Alexander Graham Bell and the invention of the telephone. And I'm not sure I'm as thankful for the person that invented the cell phone, but I am thankful for the telephone for sure and his invention. I think of Henry Ford and the Model T and the convenience and the way our life is bettered because of having the automobile. I think of Tim Angel and Simply Orange. Oh, excuse me, I'm talking about, okay. I think of how much better our life is because of Simply Orange, if you can afford it, that is, all right. And I'm not even sure he drinks it at the price that they charge. But inventors, creators, discoverers, these are all adjectives that describe their efforts, these people I've mentioned. Now, no human has ever done for man or made for man something as helpful as what God made for Adam and Eve right here in this verse. Now, you remember the setting here. Adam and Eve lived in perfection. They lived in the Garden of Eden. Life was simple. Life was clean. Life was ideal. Adam had work to do, and yes, contrary to the thought of our day and age, work is good for mankind, okay? And he had work to do. Eve had plenty of herbs of the field to fix for food. There was no sin, so there was no curse, which meant there was no dust, there were no thorns, there were no sweat, there was no Panera Bread. Life was perfect, amen, back there in the Garden of Eden. And so that means all that was going on. Now, but really, you know what the truth of the matter is? I had this thought this week. That really wasn't the best part. The best part was not what was not there. The best part was who was there. That's the best part. And the one who was there was God Himself. Because the Bible tells us that God came in the cool of the day, of the evening, to talk with these folks, Adam and Eve, and to walk with them in fellowship. When you think about that, friend, that's absolutely incredible. God and two humans in perfect, complete, open, just wide open fellowship every day, day after day after day after day. And then it happened. The serpent, the embodiment of Satan, came to Eve and deceived her, the Bible tells us, and she ate the forbidden fruit. And then she offered it to her husband Adam, and he willingly followed. And immediately, the Bible says, the knowledge of sin, the knowledge of wrong, the knowledge of evil flooded their previously innocent souls. And you know what? They began to feel things they'd never felt before. They felt guilt. They felt fear. They felt naked. They felt they heard God's voice, and they hid. That's an unnatural feeling from what they had experienced for all the time previous to Genesis 3. When they heard God's voice previously, they ran to it. Isn't that interesting? As soon as they had the knowledge of sin, they ran away from God's voice. They ran away from it. And then God found them. And He had to tell them of the consequences of their disobedience and their sin. And in chapter 3, He puts a curse on Satan. He puts a curse on Eve. He puts a curse on Adam. In fact, all of His creation is cursed because of their sin and disobedience. And then God made something. Not all of His creative work was evidently accomplished in those 6 days that we read about in Genesis chapter 1. Because the Bible tells us, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make. So God made something. The Bible says He made coats of skins and He clothed them. Can I say this morning, friend, this is better than light bulbs. This is better than a telephone. This is better than vehicle and orange juice. This is the greatest creation for man, particularly at this point in human history. Those coats of skins that God made for Adam and Eve, those garments, God's garments, was a wonderful gift. A wonderful creation and gift that God gave to Adam and Eve. Let me talk about God's garments this morning and what they reveal. I don't have time to even touch the hem of the garment this morning as to how much they reveal. But let me just mention three things that God's garments revealed to Adam and Eve. First of all, it revealed to them the price of sin. Those garments revealed to Adam and Eve the price of sin. The Bible says these were coats of skins. And they were just that. They were animal skins. Now watch it, folks. These were animals that God had created. Created for Adam and Eve to enjoy. The truth of the matter is that Adam had named all of those animals. And now, one of those animals had to die. Now, before Adam sinned, these were the days of no curse. The animals were not predators as some are today. They were not filled with fleshly desires of food. They were not flesh eaters. They were probably some of these animals were pets to Adam and Eve. Or at least they were used to Adam and Eve. And they were not frightened about Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were not frightened of the animals. In order to make those coats of skin, one or more of those animals had to die. Can you still see it in your mind's eye? Can you see the little guy? I forget his name. Can you see old Yeller in the barn? He's gotten bitten by the wolf, and he's frothing at the mouth. And the little guy with his gun has to shoot his dog. One of the saddest scenes ever made in a human film is when that fella had to shoot old Yeller. I tell you what, that makes me sad just thinking about it this morning. I'm serious. Had to shoot his dog. I remember the first time that I actually took a deer with a bow and arrow. My son Ben was with me. He was probably 8 or 9 years of age at the time. We were in the deer stand together. It was a young deer. When you're first starting out, you take anything. I passed on deer this week that were the size of this deer. But, you know, I was so excited then because it was my first time to shoot one with a bow and arrow. And I didn't hit the deer where I should. I was all nervous and fired the shot and hit it backwards. And that little fawn, meh, meh, meh. And boy, you ought to have seen Ben. He was horrified. He was just horrified. I thought, oh boy, of all things to go wrong now. There's my son up here, and he's just looking at it. And he's looking at me like, Dad, do something. I said, oh, brother. So I had to shoot it a second time to kill it. And prior to this time, there had been no death. So now Adam and Eve are watching one of the animals maybe that they played with, or one of the animals that Adam had named, no doubt, or one of the animals that had been kind of a pet, and God takes one of those animals, now watch, and that animal has to die for them to have a garment. Because you see, friend, that is the price of sin. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The wage, the penalty, the price, the result of sin is death. Sin always brings death. And you understand that physical death is the result of sin. Do you understand that this morning, friend? Do you understand that physical death is the result of the curse of sin? Sometimes people will ask why. And recently, boy, there's been a lot of deaths that cause people to ask why. And I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's unnatural. You know, why does a 55-year-old sister die? Why does a 44-year-old sister die? Why does a 60-year-old man die? Why does a 36-year-old husband and father of four die? Why does a 27-year-old Bourbonnais police officer on his way to work yesterday, recently hired, why does he have an accident crash into a tree and die? Why is this? Now, when you boil it all down to the very basic of reasons and answers, What it comes down to is sin. Now, wait a minute. Not the individual sin, but the fact that man has sinned against God in disobedience. And when he sinned, the curse or the result of that sin is death. Because previous to this time, there had been no death. There was no death in Genesis chapter 1. There was no death in Genesis chapter 2. It wasn't until you get to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 21 that death comes into the world. And Adam and Eve, for the first time, they watch a living creature die. And they see the bloodshed. Now, friend, can I say this morning that death still follows sin? Do you hear sometimes on the radio the number one killer of heart attacks is, of men age 45 and over is this, and the number one killer of women at this age is this? Let me tell you this. The number one killer of relationships is sin. Sin brings death to a marriage. Sin brings death to a family. Sin brings death to a church. Sin brings death to a nation. Sin brings death to an individual. Oh, when will we ever learn that sin causes death? And Adam and Eve learned it the hard way. They probably watched in horror as God Himself took one of those animals that Adam had named and had to kill that animal. That animal had to die, probably in front of them. And they saw death for the first time. And you know what? When God made those garments, it revealed to Adam and Eve the price of sin. The price of sin. The price of sin is death. Let me say number two this morning. Not only did this reveal the price of death to Adam and Eve, but it revealed to them the cost of standing in God's presence. It revealed to Adam and Eve the cost of standing in God's presence. You know, sometimes people will shell out large sums of money to be in the presence of someone that they consider to be great. You know, you'll hear about a presidential candidate or you'll hear about the president himself. They'll have a fundraiser and they'll charge $10,000 a plate or $15,000 a plate or $20,000. And people will pay $20,000 to sit down and have a meal with the former president or the president himself or a presidential candidate. They'll shell out great sums of money. Sometimes a Hollywood star, sometimes a professional athlete will have a book signing or a picture signing, and people will line up, and the line will snake through the store, through the mall, and people will stand there for hours, and they'll get up there, they got to buy the book, and then they pay a little extra for the book, and the Hollywood star or the professional athlete, they sign that book. They consider that price worth paying in order to be in the presence of that athlete. They consider that price worth paying to be in the presence of the presidential candidate. But I want to say something this morning, friend. You can't buy your way into God's presence. Nobody can buy their way into God's presence. You say, but how much money would it take to get into the presence of God? You can't make enough money to get into God's presence by buying your way there. You can't do that. And after Adam and Eve sinned, they made a feeble attempt to cover their nakedness with an apron of fig leaves. They went with their own hands and they plucked the leaves off the fig tree. And with those fig leaves, they crafted, the Bible says, an apron, and they attempted to cover themselves. And they thought that was good enough to allow them to stand in God's presence. Are you listening this morning? When God showed up, even with those fig leaves on, Adam and Eve were hiding as far away as they could. Because even with those aprons of fig leaves, they could not find themselves worthy to stand in God's presence. Not worthy to stand in His presence. When God came, He made them a garment. A garment that cost an animal its life blood. Those leaves did not cost any blood. They picked them off of the fig tree and they made themselves those aprons. But when God came, He said, Adam and Eve, this will not work. In order to stand in My presence, there's a cost to stand in My presence. And the cost is the lifeblood of some other being. And so the animal died and the blood was shed. And God provided a garment for Adam and Eve that made it possible for them to stand in His presence. That God-made garment was sufficient to allow them to stand in His presence. And I want to say to you this morning, friend, that there are people all over this world, not just in Zambia, Africa, but here in the United States of America, what is considered a cultured nation, in what is considered a Christian nation, there are people all over the place who are handcrafting themselves garments, hoping that they are worthy with those garments to stand someday in the presence of God. And I want to tell you something, anything ever crafted by man will not stand in the presence of God. There has to be a garment that's God-made, a garment that was the result of somebody else's life, bud. And you understand, friend, that garment God made in the book of Genesis chapter 3 was a picture of the robe of righteousness that Jesus Christ is to those who are saved. And the cost of the robe of righteousness that God made for you and for me in the person of Jesus Christ came at His own blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28 tells us that when Jesus Christ died on that cross, He did not shed the blood of man that day. He shed the blood, the very blood of God. That was the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary that made it possible for you and me to have a garment to put on that allows us to stand in the presence of God the Father. What is the most expensive piece of clothing that you ever bought or owned? What's the most expensive piece of clothing anybody ever bought for you? You fellas, you ever been in the store with your wife? Yeah, that's a horrible thought, I know, but you got to do it every now and again. Amen. You ever been in the store with your wife? And, you know, you're not buying, you're shopping. And, brother, I don't mind buying. Shopping is not a cup of tea for most men, all right? You're shopping, everything's being looked at, you know, and all of a sudden your wife, her eye is caught by some piece of apparel or dress or something, and she, oh, and emotion comes. I mean, because it's so pretty and they want to touch it. And so they look at it and they touch it, and after they look at it and touch it, and after it's already sold to them in their mind, they somehow remember to check the price. And they start scrambling around on the garment somewhere to find that price. And there it is printed up. And when you turn it over, there's another emotion. This time it comes from the man. Amen. And he grunts like a hog, like that. And sometimes even the wife goes, oh, that's too expensive, you know, and right away turns away from it. That garment that was so pretty, that garment that was so special and caught their attention, it's just absolutely too pricey. Now, do you understand, brother, friend, for you and me to stand in God's presence, it cost Jesus Christ His blood. And that is the only way any person will ever stand in God's presence without being cast into hell. I want to tell you something, friend. I know the program is over. I don't know why I'm preaching this message this morning. But if you think for one moment that you're going to stand in God's presence someday with an apron of fig leaves, with good works, with going to church, or being born in a Christian nation like America, or having yourself baptized, or having your name on the roll of a church, if you're going to try to stand before God someday with those apron of fig leaves created by your own hands, it will not suffice. Those aprons of fig leaves are not sufficient to allow me and you to stand in the presence of a holy God. The only garment that will allow you to stand in His presence someday is the robe of righteousness that He will give you if you trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus died on that cross. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, for He, that's God, made Him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, that's you and me, that who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's why He died. That's why His blood was shed, to provide a robe of righteousness for all of mankind. I tell you, Isaiah had it right in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 10. Listen to what he said. He said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Listen now. For He hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Oh, friend, I praise God for that day 36 years ago when God offered to this old vile, wicked sinner a robe of righteousness that was purchased with the shed blood of Christ. And I took that offer and put on that robe of righteousness. And today when God looks at me, He sees me through the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. I think about that little song we used to sing on the bus. Maybe they still do. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do was take off the old robe and put on the new. Now the new old robe was dirty, all tattered and torn, but the new robe was spotless, had never been worn. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do was take off that old robe and put on the new. The new robe that God fashioned when His Son died on Calvary, shed His blood, God's blood, because God was His Father, shed His blood to pay the price for mankind's sin. And think about, friend, think about how many people in this world sincerely, devoutly, going about even this morning, crafting themselves an apron of fig leaves to someday hope that they can stand in God's presence when all this time it is a free gift. It is the gift of God. It has been purchased freely by His grace. And all a sinner has to do is quit manufacturing his own apron of fig leaves and by faith trust in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and be robed in the righteousness of Christ, which then allows you to stand in God's presence. Let me say to you, Christian, this morning, don't forget the cost of the garment you wear. Don't forget the cost of the garment you wear. Are you clothed this morning in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you clothed in His righteousness today? That did not come at small price. That came at great cost. His blood, every drop of it being shed from His hands, His feet. See from His head, His hands and feet. See the love in the form of His blood flow mingled down. See the soldier coming with the spear at the end of the crucifixion and piercing His chest cavity. And every ounce and drop of blood that was in the body of Jesus Christ spilled on that ground as He hung there. That is the cost. That is the price of the robe that we wear this morning. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. And someday when we stand before God and we hear that, enter into the joy of the Lord and ushered into heaven, friend, don't forget it'll be because you're wearing that robe of righteousness that Jesus gave, that God gave you when Jesus died on the cross. Let me say this morning about God's garments. Number one, it revealed to them the price of sin, which is death. Number two, it revealed to them the cost of standing in God's presence, which is bloodshed. Bloodshed, and particularly the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then let me say number three this morning. When God made these garments, it revealed to them the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. It revealed to them the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. Can you travel with me in your mind's eye this morning? Can you put your thinking cap on? Maybe an imaginative thinking cap for just a minute. Can you transport yourself back as a bystander, a witness that day, watching from the sidelines as the Garden of Eden, that experience took place? Can you see Adam and Eve standing there, halfway covered with aprons of fig leaves? You can see the fear in their face. You can see the shame. You can see the guilt. In fact, they can't even open, they can't even lift their head and look into the eyes of God. Previously, every time that God came and said, Adam, Adam said, yes, God. Now God says, Adam, and it's like, can you see him standing there? Can you see the serpent, the very essence of sin, standing there, blowing out maybe smoke from his nostrils and his eyes all fiery? He hates God. He hates God's will. He hates God's place. He hates everything about God. Are you looking at it this morning? God's beautiful creation is ruined. There are thorns. There are thistles. What's that noise? That's the noise of animals fighting. They're not playing. They're fighting. They're clawing and they're devouring and they're screaming and they're killing each other. and the plants are dying, and the leaves are falling off the trees. Can you see it in your mind's eye this morning? And here's God. Here's God. Satan's already doomed. Satan has already written his own ending because of his rebellion. God has already cast him down to hell. That is already settled. There is no hope. But what about these two? What about this man and this woman? What would God do? He had to make the next move. Adam and Eve had already done all that they could. And all that they could resulted in them standing there, half-clothed, shameful, fearful, hiding themselves, scared to death, wondering what their future would hold. They'd already done it. You say, what would he do? You say, well, God knew what he did. God knew what he was going to do. Yeah, but Adam and Eve didn't. Adam and Eve didn't. What you going to do, God? You know what, friend? You know what God could have done? You know what God could have done? He could have turned and walked away. And left them standing there. Now what would they do? Now what hope would they have? He could have turned his head, turned his back, walked away. What would they have done? What could they have done? You want to know what they would have done? They would have died, gone to hell. And been there today, even as we are here this morning. I got news for you. I think I'm looking at everybody in this room this morning who is a descendant of Adam and Eve. And if he had walked away from Adam and Eve, he would have been walking away from me and you. We'd be meeting here in vain this morning. Absolute vain. Would be nothing to it. God could have turned and walked away. But no, God would not and God could not walk away from those two. You see, the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of His love reached out, and God made a way for His creation to be restored to Him. God made those coats. God made those garments. And when God turned with that couple standing there and killed those animals and shed that blood and made those coats and clothed Adam and Eve, God was making a way for mankind to come back to Himself. That's what God was doing. Why did He do it? Because of His great love. His love made Him do it. You say, well, why would He love them so much? Because they are His. He made them. He made them for Himself. He made them to fellowship with Him. He made them to glorify Him. He made them to live for Him. They were His. And Satan had stolen them away. And he wasn't going to walk away from his creation and leave man and woman helpless and hopeless in the hands of a wicked devil. And so blood was shed and an animal died and garments were made. God made it possible for man to come back to Him with those garments. There's a story in your Old Testament. I don't have time to go into it this morning. It's about David and Absalom. And you remember when Absalom killed Amnon because Amnon had done that horrible act of raping his sister. You remember that, Tamar. And Absalom got so mad at Amnon that he killed him. And then Absalom fled from the presence of David because now he's killed David's boy. And Absalom is David's son too. And the Bible says, I don't have time to go into it this morning, but the Bible says that Joab finally sent a woman to King David. Absalom was out living away from David. Hadn't talked to him. And Joab sent a woman in there and said, through this woman, sent a message to David and said, look, aren't you going to make a way? I'm paraphrasing this. Said, aren't you going to make a way? Aren't you going to make a way for the banished to come home? Aren't you going to make a way for that banished boy of yours to come back? You mean you're going to separate yourself from him from now on because of this act? Yes, it was wrong. Yes, it was sinful. But he's your boy. And you're going to banish him forever? You know what David did? He said, okay, bring him back. And Joab ran and got Absalom, brought him back to Jerusalem. And the Bible says Absalom was so happy. But you know what? When Absalom got back to Jerusalem, David didn't look at him, didn't see his face.
He lived there for 2 years in Jerusalem and never saw David. Never saw his father. David never made a way back for that banished son to come into his presence. But I am so glad that our Heavenly Father, after Adam and Eve, took the human race far, far away from God because of their sin. I am so glad that God not only brought us back to the city in which He was living, God made it possible for us to fellowship with Him face to face, to have Him as our Heavenly Father, to walk with Him and talk with Him and sing and serve Him and live for Him. And friend, that's your purpose this morning. Your purpose is not to live for sin. Your purpose is not to live for the devil. Your purpose is not to die and go to hell and be banished from God. See, when you get to that place, you will be banished from God forever. You're not made for that. You're made for God. You're made to love Him. You're made to live for Him. You're created to serve Him. But by sin, you've gone a long, long ways away. I got good news for you this morning. God has made it possible for you to come back to His presence, to have His joy, His blessing, His fellowship in your heart and soul this morning. That's exactly what happened way back in the Garden of Eden with God's garments. It revealed to Adam and Eve the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. And I want to just point you this morning, friend, to the love of God. Listen to me. You will not ever read, you'll not ever hear, you'll not ever experience any greater love than the love of God. The love that God has for you, a sinner lost and undone and away from Him. He gave His Son to die and shed His blood so that you might come back into His presence and live with Him forever and ever and ever and ever in that wonderful place called heaven. God's garments. God's garments. When God made those garments, it revealed to Adam and Eve the price of sin. When God made those garments, it revealed to Adam and Eve the cost of standing in His presence. And when God made those garments, it revealed to Adam and Eve the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever put it on? Have you ever put it on? Well, you know, I believed in God all my life. That's not putting on that robe of righteousness. Well, I've been baptized. That's not putting on the robe of righteousness. Have you ever, by faith, slipped into the robe of righteousness that God provided for you in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, confessing your sin, repenting and turning to Jesus and saying, God, I don't want to be banished from Your presence. If this is what it takes to come back into Your presence, I'll put that robe on. Have you ever done that this morning? Have you ever? And friend, if you have, don't forget about the cost. Don't forget the love. Don't forget the mercy and grace that was on display when God made those wonderful garments way back in the Garden of Eden. All that they picture with God's garments. I'm glad for those garments this morning. I am not a worthy enough man in myself to stand before God, to talk to Him like I did this morning, to talk to Him like I will tomorrow morning, to walk in His presence. But all because of the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ, I can stand in the presence of God, accepted in the Beloved. Have you put that robe on? Have you put that robe on? That's the single most important question you'll ever decide in life. Have you put that robe on? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. I appreciate you paying attention. Let me ask you a few questions today before we have the invitation. Let me just ask this question. How many would say, Pastor Angel, I have a time in my life like you when I receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. I'm saved and I know it. I'm on my way to heaven. I know that I don't have to spend an eternity banished from God. I know I'm saved. Now, please, let me just ask you this. Would you please be honest? Would you please be honest before God today? Since He knows everything anyway, you might as well cooperate with Him. How many folks will say, Pastor, I know there's been a time when I received the robe of righteousness in Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand if you can say that this morning in honesty? And just be honest about it. Don't lie. Thank you. You may take your hands down. I appreciate that. Is there one here this morning who would say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand just then. You asked me to be honest, and I was. I didn't raise my hand just then because I don't know that I've ever received the robe of righteousness that's in Jesus Christ. And I don't want to be banished from God forever. Oh, my soul. Banished from all that is good and holy and right. Banished from God. Separated from Him forever. Pastor Angel, I didn't raise my hand just then. I don't know that I've ever receive the robe of righteousness that's available in Jesus Christ, pray for me. I'm not sure I've ever done that. Would you raise your hands? Let me pray for you this morning. Slip it up, put it right back down. God bless you. Is there another? Not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I've ever trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Somebody else. Somebody else. I see a small child's hand as well this morning. I'll pray for you in just a moment. Somebody else. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm saved. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, the music will begin. We call that an invitation. Some folks might come to pray. If you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you step out and come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them show you this morning how you can receive the robe of righteousness that's in Jesus Christ. That would be the most wonderful day of your life. Now, if you're saved and you know it, how many would say, Pastor, I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I'm saved and I know it, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that here today? I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism. That's right. God bless you. All right. Listen, today is a good day to obey the Lord. Step out and obey the Lord Jesus Christ today. Follow Him in believer's baptism. It would be pleasing to God if you would do that. I'll pray for you in just a moment. Now, Christian, you're saved, baptized. You know that you're on your way to heaven. You know this is the place that God wants you to become a member. You've talked to us about it. At the invitation time, it'd be a good time for you to come and join with us, if God's will is that. Maybe to come make an appointment to talk with us, if you need to. And then, Christian, member of the church, let's not forget that robe, that new robe, that robe of righteousness. Don't forget the cost. Don't forget the price. It allows me and you to stand in God's presence. Oh, my goodness. Such love. Such love. It ought to draw us to love Him and serve Him. Don't forget the cost of that garment. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these garments that You made for Adam and Eve. And Lord, what they symbolize for us as people today. Thank You for the gift of Your love and Your mercy and grace. We understand, God, the price of sin. And we understand the cost of standing in Your presence, bloodshed. We understand today, or at least try to understand, just how much You love us and want us to be with You. And God, can we say this morning with our hearts, thank You for making a way for us to come back into Your presence. God, thank You. Thank You so much. Lord, I wonder how many people sometime these past 7 days cried out to You in a moment of need. Cried out to You in a moment of fellowship. Lord, we can come into Your presence all because of the robe of righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You. A million times over, thank You. Bless these today who lifted a hand. I pray for Your will to be done in their life. And that's my prayer in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, you play a song of invitation. If you need to come this morning and trust Christ, why don't you step out, maybe to be baptized. You've been waiting to do that, and now would be a good time to come. Why don't you come this morning? While we wait.